Today's scripture is from Mark 10, verses 35 through 45. James and John, Zebedee's sons, came up to him. "Teacher, we have some things we want you to do for us."
"What is it?" "I'll see what I can do."
"Arrange it," they said, "so that we will be awarded the highest places of honor in your glory. One of us at your right, the other at your left." Jesus said, "You have no idea what you're asking. Are you capable of drinking the cup I drink or being baptized in the baptism I'm about to be plunged into?"
"Sure," they said. "Why not?"
Jesus said, "Come to think of it, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized in my baptism. But as to awarding places of honor, that's not my business. There are other arrangements for that." When the other 10 heard of this conversation, they lost their tempers with James and John. Jesus got them together to settle things down. "You've observed how godless rulers throw their weight around," he said. "And when people get a little power, how quickly it goes through their heads. It's not going to be that way with you. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. That is what the Son of God has done. He came to serve, not be served, and then to give away his life in exchange for many who are held hostage."
Our second scripture reading is just two verses from the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. "Now that we know that we have Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help." Here ends our scripture reading. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God became visible in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the perfect example of how God wants us to be, how to live, how to conduct our lives. And the Bible introduces us to a Christ who was indeed one of us. And through his life, his passion and crucifixion, he understands our feelings, our thoughts, our temptations. He understands us. That is what we received in Jesus Christ. Now, our first scripture reading this morning took us right inside the inner circle of Christ, revealing some intimate detail of even they, how they at times misunderstood, argued, and failed to understand who Jesus really was. It wasn't all hunky-dory, even in those days. And amongst the disciples were often arguments, disagreements, and, if my impression is correct, sometimes it came very near to fisticuffs. They were rough fishermen, some of them, and they knew how to make their point. Now, communication between them at times was a problem. Communication, even in our times, is still a real problem. I came across this gem of miscommunication and misunderstanding. It was in a marriage counseling session, and a certain minister was trying to identify a woman's marriage problems by asking her some very direct questions. "Do you have any grounds?" She replied, "Why, yes, we do. We have about 10 acres north of town." "No, ma'am," the minister said, "that's not what I meant. What I mean is, do you have a grudge?" "Oh, no," she responded, "but we do have a nice little carport." "No," said the minister, "what I mean is, does your husband beat you up?" "Beat me up? Oh, no. I get up before he does just about every morning." So in complete exasperation, the minister said, "Lady, you're not listening to me. Why are you having trouble with your husband?" "Well," she said, "the man just doesn't know how to communicate." So also in Jesus' time, there were many miscommunications. And obviously there were even lapses in communication between Jesus and his disciples. So just listen to the unusual request coming from James and John. "Arrange it," they said, "so that we will be awarded the highest places of honor in your glory. One of us at your right, the other at your left." Wow. What audacity. How is that possible? They have heard the teachings of Jesus on the importance of being humble like servants, that the last should be the first. They were with him. They heard his parables of compassion, of not needing to be the greatest. Nevertheless, they still did not seem to understand. While Jesus was already on his way to Jerusalem and the shadow of the cross was already falling over him, guess what? The disciples were competing to get the best and to share in God's power and glory. They were actually competing for glory. Now, before we judge them too harshly, let us remember that we are often very much like them. Sadly, there are still many Jameses and Johns amongst the followers of Jesus Christ. They do not want to follow. They prefer and insist on being followed. They will serve only if they can be in charge or if they can have the say. So they want everyone to be reasonable and do it their way. They will smile if you smile first. And they will only serve if they can give the instructions. They will tell you that it is all a rat race and that the rats are winning, so they do not mind being the rats. They want all the glory of what God can offer, but not the challenge, not the demands. They want the glory offered by God and not the risk of taking their cross and following him. If they could only lay their eyes on Jesus, they would tell him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." Now, amazingly, Jesus did not respond to their request. And here comes the surprise. He actually does encourage his followers to compete for glory. It's not wrong in his eyes. However, the way and the answer is not what James and John had hoped for. Jesus is different, and he wants his followers to be different. So he says, oh yes, it is okay to compete for glory. But just remember, says Jesus, my rules are different. The way of Jesus is directly opposite from the ways of the world. So the rules for the competition are different, exactly the opposite of what they thought. And here comes the surprise. Jesus said, whoever wish to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. So thus, the secret to win the competition, to become the greatest, is a secret no longer. If you want to be great, be willing and ready to serve others as Jesus did. And he was already underway to Jerusalem, where he would suffer greatly. James and John were competing for glory, but one thing slipped their minds. They did not even notice that the greatest of them all was indeed already in their midst. He was standing right beside them. James, John, if you want to be truly great, just follow me. The competition to be the greatest is in reality a competition to be the least of all. You know, I just love to tell the story about a certain monk in olden times who once found a very precious stone and always carried it with him wherever he went. And one day he met a traveler who was tired, hungry and thirsty. And therefore the monk opened his bag to share his provisions with the traveler. It was then that the traveler first saw the jewel in the monk's bag. And immediately he was filled with desire, and he simply could not resist. So he thought that maybe the monk didn't know how precious it was, or whatever he thought. He asked the monk, would you please give me that stone? And to his surprise and to his utter joy, the monk did so immediately. He took the jewel and placed it in the traveler's hand. And the traveler then departed, overjoyed with the unexpected gift of the precious stone. And a few days went by, and a bit later, he came back searching for the monk. And he finally found the monk, took out the precious stone and gave it back to him. And he said, you know what? Since you gave me that stone, I discovered that there is something I need that is far more precious than the jewel you gave me. Oh, please, Please give me something much more precious than this stone. And the monk asked, "What do you need, my friend?" The answer came, "Please give me that which enabled you to give that jewel to me." I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Let's look upon Jesus. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Amen.